Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. On this podcast, we will be talking with Reverend C.L. Bryant. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. So on the line with me is my friend, Reverend C.L. Bryant. C.L., welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kim. Good to be with you again.
You know, a lot has happened, CL, since the last time we talked, and I just wanted to get your perspective. We've obviously had the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and now the rioting in our streets. But first of all, for those that may not know you, CL Bryant, would you please give our listeners a quick bio on who you are?
Sure. I am C.L. Bryant, born and raised Shreveport, Louisiana, former president of the NAACP, Garland, Texas. I'm a child of God, even though I was on the wrong side of the political spectrum for a long time, as far as I can tell. Minister for the last 43 years, from coast to coast. I've pastored three churches. Senior fellow, Freedom Works, Washington, D.C., and for the last 11 years. And there we made the award-winning film, Runaway Slave, which is the grandfather, godfather of the Walkaway Blexit movement. Get the movie on Amazon, Runaway Slave. You'll see where those ideas that many black people weren't talking about came from. It came from my film, Runaway Slave. And so glad to be with you. Be sure everybody tune in to C.L. Bryant Show daily. Download the free app in the App Store, The C.L. Bryant Show. And we're on from 12 in the East until 2 p.m. every day. Thanks a lot, Kim, for that.
Well, great to have you with me. So, CL, what is your perspective? First of all, let's talk about the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that it is a concerted effort to disrupt the flow of our nation. There has been several efforts to do that, the Russian collusion hoax, of course, the impeachment hoax, everything that has been thrown at this administration has been geared to try and take it down. And even though the president has reacted in great fashion, and I forgot to mention that I am on one of his advisory boards, Black Voices for Trump, a founding member of one of his advisory boards. I've met with the president, talked with the president. I know that his heart is to preserve our republic. However, we have seen with our own eyes the efforts that it has taken to bring him down, and COVID was a part of that as well. And even these tragedies that have occurred in places like Minneapolis and in Georgia, you see the media still trying to use those things to disrupt the flow of our nation.
I think that our republic is at a very defining moment right now, CL. And, you know, what happened in Minneapolis is tragic. Do you think that that is the norm, this narrative that we're hearing of police brutality against black individuals? Is this the norm, or what's your thoughts, CL?
Let me share this with you, Kim. I was sharing this with some people just a couple of days ago, and I'll be talking about this on Hannity Radio on Monday, and so all of you tune in. Kim, black people are only 12% of the population. 75% of those black people in this country, of that 12%, they do very well in this nation. 20% are like everybody else. They try to keep their noses above water and stay afloat financially. And then you have 5% of those people who don't want to do anything. But, Kim, the amazing thing is that that demographic is the same across the board. 75% of most Americans are doing okay. They're doing fine. And our economy was reflecting that before the COVID-19 struck us. 25%, that's the middle class, and they're floating, lower middle class. They're floating the status, trying to stay above ground and above water. But then you have 5% of our population who never do anything. But that's the 5%, Kim, that the news media want to present to America as black America. And unfortunately, Black America has bought that picture of ourselves. My point is this. If there was open season on black men in this country, and there's not, there wouldn't be any black men in this country because we're only 12% of the population. Tucker had a very good show a couple of days ago. It pointed out that of blacks who have been killed unarmed by police officers in the last few episodes of this, there's only 10 of them. And that's far too many, but the number of that, as far as whites being killed by police officers who are unarmed, are many more. And so the numbers just don't support the actions of so many burning down their own cities.
What's interesting to me, CL, is that a number of the protesters actually look to me like, quote-unquote, suburban white kids that have been told they have this white privilege and they have all kinds of guilt because of that. And I'm very frustrated that is what's being taught in our education system instead of, coming together and no matter what the descriptor is, each individual is a treasured person by our Lord. Every person is treasured and valued. And so this division and guilt that has been sown into, our education system, I think we're starting to see the ramifications of that. And, it's biblical. Christ said it and Abraham Lincoln said it. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So I'm trying to get my brain around what's happening, CL. What's happening?
What's happening is that there has been a poisoning, a brainwashing of our young people, and particularly young white people. We talked about numbers just a little bit ago, and even though we look at the news media that would make you think that black folks are everywhere in this country, we're not. But I tell you who is everywhere in this country. Young white people. They're everywhere in this country. If you go to Iowa, Idaho, Florida, wherever you go, Los Angeles, wherever you go, there are many, many young white people, even though you may see the narrative that blacks are just in groves and heavy populations. My point is that if, in fact, you're able to brainwash the mindset of both the blacks and the white young people in this country, have them group thinking a certain way, and their heads on a swivel wondering what the group is going to say before they individually say something's wrong. That's what happened with those cops, by the way. The cops were victims of groupthink, protecting the code, and it caused them to have a man, to watch a man be murdered. And our nation is about to be murdered from the inside out, as Khrushchev, by the way, did predict he could do. Communists would do that. They'd take it without firing a shot. They would take it through our young people. And so they're brainwashing them in a Benjamin Bloom type of atmosphere that has been created over the years in our educational system.
What can we do about it, CL?
We must continue to tell our story, Kim, in the face of the animosity, the outrage, and even the violence that may be directed toward us as conservatives, fiscal conservatives, Republicans, alike. We must continue to tell our story. The problem is, Kim, is that so many of us don't know our story. And what black people are beginning to wake up to, and that's what Black Voices for Trump does, that's what FreedomWorks does, my parent company, we educate. And if we don't get into the role of re-educating and redefining terms that have been mystified and have been redefined right in front of our own eyes, like family, gender, those types of things. If we don't start redefining and recapturing those terms, what good and evil is all about, if we don't recapture that narrative, then there's nothing that we can do about it. We will be steamrolled by a train that has been slow moving over the past 50 years. But that is the remedy. Truth, even though it's crushed to the ground, as Dr. King said, it will rise again. But it has to have someone who understands what truth is.
You know, that reminds me of a quote that a friend of mine shared with me recently. It said Fear knocked on the door and truth answered, and there was no one there. And so this quest for truth is so, so important, CL.
One of the greatest questions that still echo down through the annals of time is one that was asked to the face of who I believe to be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was asked to him by Pontius Pilate when Jesus said that I have come to bear witness of the truth. Pilate's question for him, and it's been one through the ages, what is truth? And many times, Kim, what we do as human beings, and surely Christians and others, we lose focus of who we are. And any time that we lose focus of our purpose, then it will be abused. And that's what we're seeing here in this country right now, the abuse of purpose of church, purpose of country, purpose of family, purpose of our society. We've lost touch with the purpose that the founders launched in this country for this nation.
And this has happened through the education system. Our founders, you know, really wanted us to have an educational system where it was that classical liberal education system versus what we have gotten to now. Now, there are many fine teachers out there, CL. We know that. But the teachers' unions and that narrative that they've pushed forward it's really brainwashed our kids. I know that when my kids would come home from school, I was kind of scratching my head, and I'm like, what? What? And I'm thinking, well, you know, they're the educators. They know better. We got to a point where we would have robust discussions because I had to push back on what the kids were bringing home, and I don't think a lot of parents realize just what has happened. CL, with all of this that's going on, though, I find hope in as much as you mentioned for the last 50 years this has been occurring, and it's been underneath the surface, if you will. And with Donald Trump's election, then, you know, things were going very well. Black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, unemployment for women, it was at historic lows. What was happening with this economy, the dignity of work, you know, that the only thing that really I think that the activist left thought they could do is to derail the economy, and that would be the way to defeat Donald Trump. And by gosh, with this COVID-19 thing, they did it.
You know, you're right, Kim, and I'm glad that you brought this into play, because you mentioned classic liberalism, and the most classic of liberals in this country, it was Thomas Jefferson. In fact, he penned our Declaration of Independence, our founding document. And this is something that Jefferson said to us that really our present does exemplify. We must choose between a dangerous freedom or a peaceful slavery. Mm-hmm. And that's the spirit of every true American. And every true American has chosen between dangerous freedom or peaceful slavery. And we've always chosen dangerous freedom. And what we're seeing in this country is that very essence of what has made us the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has ever known. What has made us that is being robbed from us. But in the embodiment of this president, we are seeing a person who does exemplify exactly what an American president should be. I applaud the president for not wearing a mask during this thing. I don't believe an American president ever, even if it costs him his life.
I agree.
It should show fear or
submission,
any type of weakness mm-hmm. in the midst of something like this. I think the president did exactly the right thing, the vice president too.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Thomas Jefferson. As you mentioned, he was basically the author of the Declaration of Independence and this, you know, this vision that in the U.S. Constitution is put in place to try to ensure this vision that every man is created equal and endowed by their creator with these certain unalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And of course, over the last 50 years, there's been the narrative that has wanted to look at all the faults of the founders. Versus, you know, and we're human beings. We all have faults. And that's one thing I've seen with the leftist activists. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness over on that side for anybody that disagrees with them whatsoever. But, you know, Thomas Jefferson, there is this narrative of his relationship with Sally Hennings. So speak to that a bit, CL, because that's something that always seems to come up in conversation.
There's a three-roomed house, Kim, that we all live in. It's the house that has the room of the past, the present, and the future. It's mighty strange to me how human nature tend to want to live in that first house, the house of the past. The strangest thing about it, though, if you walk into that room in your mind, there's not a picture on the wall, a piece of furniture, there's not an event that happened that you can possibly change. And so it amazes me how we like to live there and talk about it and try to manipulate it, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's where we are in America right now. We live in that room of the past, particularly liberals. Liberals love to live in that room of the past. It seems as though that's all they have. And when it comes to the black vote, Kim, that is all they have, is to try to remind black people of what they used to be, what they were, to keep them slaves in their mind to the past of what they were, and not to allow us to get past where we were and realize where we are in a country where our story could not have been told in any other nation, not Nigeria, not China, not Russia. The story of the black man, the story of the white man in America could not have been told in their nations of origin. They could only be told in America. And so anyone who wants to throw up in your face or my face what America used to be, it's like reminding a converted Christian of what they used to be. A sinner, a person who was unredeemed. America has gone through the salvation process, and we're still going through it, of being made better every day as any individual who trusts God in this Judeo-Christian country is doing every day. We're getting better, and we should be proud of where we've come from. We should be proud of where we are, and with God's help, we just may see a great American future if we're not stupid.
That's true, if we're not stupid. And I hadn't really thought about that, CL, about these three different houses. And I mean, that happens to individuals as well. There's nothing, a couple of things. I think that you have to learn from the past. You know, what we're seeing now is in Virginia, the tearing down of the statues and monuments, which are, you know, I think having a statue there, for example, of Robert E. Lee should bring up a conversation about what had happened there and, you know, the vision moving us into the future. And tearing it down takes away that conversation. What do you think, CL?
What we do is remove our opportunities for teachable moments. And the child passes by the statue of Lee and asks his mother or father, who is that on that statue, on that horse? And then the story of that man and Lee was one of our greatest generals, regardless of what you may have thought about Robert E. Lee. I mean, it was more like 4,000, 6 million, rather, against 10 million. That's basically what Lee was fighting with. And the story of his war battlefield expertise and was incredible. The story of choosing between fighting for the Union and then or fighting for Virginia is a story that every American, even today, wrestles with. There's all types of stories to be taken out of the Civil War than just the fight for states' rights or freedom or for slaves. It's much more than that. And if we fail to understand the Civil War, there is no way that you're going to understand the history of America, because that was a pivotal point in this country, where a nation went to war against itself over the principles that it had set in place for itself. Even though human cargo and human bondage was at stake as well, it was a battle for the soul of our nation, and we won. We actually won it. But now we're back at a point where we can lose it again in this Civil War.
Well, we are in a Civil War right now, but to your point about the Civil War in the 1800s is slavery was prevalent throughout the world. There is still slavery that is occurring in our world today. And that seems like something that seriously we should take on if, you know, these young white kids are concerned about that. That's what they should be taking on. But there was no other country on the face of the earth in the history of mankind that went to war with itself to wrestle with this question on whether or not one man could own another man. And that is so fundamentally different than anything else that has happened throughout history or throughout the world. It should be celebrated. We were not in a perfect place. We're not going to be in a perfect place because we are human beings. But instead of denigrating America for that, it should be celebrated, CL.
Kim, you're a white woman. I'm a black man, just so people know that as far as full disclosure is concerned, she is my friend. We have the same core values. It appears that if Kim had been raised in my home with my mom and dad, and I was raised in her home with her mom and dad, we swapped places, she'd have been raised in the same home. This is what's so much overlooked in our nation, is how much more we are alike than we are different. And the skin color, folks, please hear me when I say this. God loves color. He made so much of it. He made all of us in different shades. We say that we don't see color, but God does. He does. He loves the different colors of the rainbow, different colors of everything, shades that we see around us. And he loves different colors of people. That's how big our God is. We're the ones who keep up the foolishness. It's not him. We choose to have strife against one another. Stop it. Let's change that course. We can. It's simply a choice.
It is a choice. Now, I want to move here to what's happening now in America, you know, with these riots, this destruction of property. In fact, I had been sent a Facebook post of a family member, young white woman, who basically said, you know, how is it, you know, that you could be concerned about property when, in fact, this black man was killed at the hands of these police officers? They don't really equate. And I was a bit astonished with that because, we acknowledge that this is very tragic, which happened with George Floyd. But destroying property, there doesn't seem to be a correlation to me how that's okay, CL. What do you think?
It's not okay, Kim, and it brings up the question of hypocrisy. Because if life was really the concern here, if life was really the focus of the rage, then our question has to be, then why are the neighborhoods in Chicago still standing where people kill each other every weekend? Life is not the question here. If life is precious, then all life is precious, not just black lives matter or white lives matter. All life is precious, or we are all hypocrites. And those who say certain lives matter or want to bring attention to certain lives, I know it's a very catchy phrase, and it's one that inflames passion among certain demographics, but it is the mantra of hypocrites. And this is something that we must not be afraid to say. We must not be afraid to call out or be ashamed to call out the hypocrisy of Chicago still standing, and places where black men kill black men every weekend. Latino men kill Latino men every weekend. And the white Antifa groups are not saying anything about that. No, there's huge, stifling hypocrisy that is being seen on national television every day these days.
Okay, so let's go to what we are then really seeing. First of all, in our Constitution, there are things that are there that are so important. One of them is due process, and certainly through the judicial system, search for truth and justice. Now, I know it's not a perfect system, but due process, even though I have not watched the video, I've heard about it so many times regarding George Floyd, and those are things I just can't I just can't watch it. But I know from what I hear that it's riveting. You know, that is not okay. But because of what happened there, to throw out due process, to, you know, get to a mob rule where there's no due process, no search for the truth, no going through the judicial system, you know, those that might be celebrating this regarding George Floyd have to realize that, you know, if you throw it out for, you know, these police officers, you know, someday somebody may throw it out for you if you're accused for something. So these things, I think, have to be sacrosanct, CL, and that's a very important tenet of our country. What's your thoughts?
Due process is absolutely important. You take like the death of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia by the two white neighbors there of the house that he was looking into. Now, whether he was a criminal or not, you know, it'll all come out, I guess, in court. He still didn't deserve to be chased down and killed. You know, due process. The officer with his knee, and Kim, I encourage you. I know that you are very soft-hearted and all that. I understand that. My wife is that same way. Listen, take a look at this, because Kim, you, anyone with any sanity that see this video in America, anywhere in the world, you will be outraged. If you're sane, you will be outraged at the look on this officer's face, the cries from the man on the ground saying, "I can't breathe," and all of a sudden you don't have any noise, silence. You would be outraged. And so when we look at due process, the choices that were made on the street by that police officer are the same choices that the thugs in Chicago make on a weekly basis. They deny due process to the people they shoot down, and the cop denied due process to this individual, George Floyd, which was tragic. The Floyd family, though, was very stand up. His brother was very stand up. He said George was not about this. At one time he may have been, but he wasn't about this. So stop the violence. And he wasn't a perfect guy. Of course he wasn't. But I'm so totally against people who are out trying to speak ill of the dead and denigrate this man who died at the hands of a thug cop.
And then this now is being used. And okay, CL, I mean, I'm tough in some ways, but when I see human beings hurt or their rights taken away, it's really difficult for me. But I will try to watch that. But the descriptions I've heard is just it just touches my heart. But with this, then, I just saw a headline come across on my phone this morning that in Minneapolis, they're calling for getting rid of the police department. Now, what's going to happen then, CL?
Well, yeah, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? I mean, come on.
Yeah, right. Right.
I mean, you know, that's the alternative. Kim, you know, who's doing the thinking for these people? I mean, come on. What's the alternative to the men and women in blue? What's the alternative? And, folks, I want you to hear what I'm saying here. As you sleep peacefully in your beds at night, there are people who we have charged with watching and making sure that the underbelly of society does not come into your house where you're sleeping peacefully in your bed and disturbing the peace. They're peace officers. In reality, that's who they are. Unfortunately, they're humans, and they make mistakes. But our society, without those guardians, that thin blue line, would descend into absolute chaos, particularly for those who are the poorest among us, living in those neighborhoods where gangs have absolutely taken over. They would suffer the most. You and I, Kim, I think we'd buck up, arm up, and lock and load, and we'd be just fine. But just the rest of society, those who we look at and denigrate sometimes the most, they would suffer as well. very bad. Our president said that.
Well, and when you just mentioned the look on this police officer's face, and you think about those that are fomenting evil, that would happen in our neighborhoods. Those with that kind of look on their face would not think twice about, you know, hurting children, hurting, other people taking their stuff, which we're seeing that happen. So it's really important to understand that there is something really, I think, evil going on about this whole thing about trying to defund the police and kind of bring anarchy to our neighborhoods. CL, we're just about out of time. Your comment on that and then your final thoughts for our listeners.
Anarchy is just a breath away from us if we take our police officers off the street. The cities will, and neighborhoods will descend into anarchy. We cannot do that. Please follow me on Twitter, at Rev, R-E-V, C-L Bryant. Download free the C.L. Bryant Show. And, of course, go to freedomworks.org, and become a part of the largest grassroots organization in the nation. 6 million activists on the ground,
wow,
just like you. And I'm a senior fellow with them, and I certainly look forward to you coming along with us. And become a part of Black Voice for Trump. Doesn't matter who you are, what your stripe is, come along, become a part of Black Voice for Trump. Find us on the website. Thank you so much, Kim, for having me on. And folks, this is a great show. Be sure to stay tuned in.
Reverend C.L. Bryant, thank you so much. So this is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America.